He sits here again, next to the bed that she has laid in for the past 5 months. She almost never gets up at this point, and the disease continues to do its deadly work. The end slowly crawls near. He has sat in this very place, night after night, for the last 5 weeks. Every night he holds her hand and prays. He sits for hours and sometimes wakes up realizing that he either prayed or cried himself to sleep. At this point, it's not the illness that bothers him as much as the confusion that comes when he thinks about just how much he has prayed and how it doesn't seem to have mattered much. No matter how focused he got, no matter how much faith he could muster, nothing seemed to change. He only found silence. He wants to know why. He had been taught his entire life that God answers prayer. Why not now? Had he done something wrong? Was this some sort of punishment? Had God forgotten him? With his faith in tatters and his questions unanswered, all he could do was sit in silence and keep praying, hoping that it wasn't all in vain. That is a made-up scenario, but it doesn't have to be, does it? Sadly, we probably all know someone who has gone through something very much like this. Last week, we started this two-week series about learning to hear from God and just how important it is and why God communicates with us and the major ways that he uses to communicate with us. I think it's a sermon that is incredibly important with reminders that, again, it is way too easy just to get wrapped up into the chaos in the world that surrounds us, and it's so easy that the voice of God can be drowned out. Today I want to look at the other side of that coin, and I would argue the harder one. What happens when you're turned in? What happens when you're seeking God? You're doing all those things that we talked about last week, and yet it appears that God has nothing to say. God is utterly silent. What happens when God doesn't appear to answer your prayers? You're asking for clarity. Maybe you're asking for direction, and it just appears that God has nothing to say. Does it mean that you're not really listening right? You know, the onus is on you. Maybe it's because God isn't really listening. Maybe God's holding out on you. For whatever reason, when God is silent, how should we respond in times like this? What do we do when we just don't hear God? These are good questions, especially if you are trying to be a Christ follower the way that he intends. I would argue if you've done it for any length of time, you've been there. And I would say it doesn't require a tragedy. I think sometimes, again, for multitude of reasons, sometimes God is just silent. And he has given us his word, and one of the really good things that I think he does in that is it is not only God's story of redemption of mankind, but it is filled with stories of pretty ordinary people and how they deal with life. And this subject comes up in his word as well. And we can go and we can see how they dealt with it. And I would say the Bible doesn't sugarcoat it. There are places in the Bible that it's pretty raw, and I think it needs to be. Because when God is silent, man, it can be incredibly rough. And at those moments, I think sometimes we become real with God. And we need to understand that's okay. I think sometimes when we have angst or struggle or all that stuff, we're afraid to really let God have it, let him know how we really feel. And I just want you to know this morning that God already knows how you feel, and he is not scared of you sharing that with him. And I think there's a power in getting real with God. There's a cleansing component. And so one of those books I believe that this is blaring in is the book of Job. Now, scholars debate whether there actually was a Job. When we get to heaven, will we meet Job? Or if it was just this entire book is a really long sermon illustration. I tend to believe that Job actually lived, but regardless, I think it teaches some important things. So here's quickly the Cliff Note versions of Job before we get into the teeth of it. The Bible says that Job was a pretty good guy. Actually, the Bible says he was blameless, he was righteous. We see that he was pretty well blessed financially. So Satan notices this guy, and for whatever reason, Satan and God are having this discussion. And Satan calls God out on Job, and he says, of course Job's like that, because you've blessed him so much. So God allows Satan to basically test Job, and it's like one step after the other, and it continues to get worse and worse and worse until God, you know, Job, everything is taken away from him except one thing, which I'm wondering personally if he had asked for that too, but he's left with a nagging wife. So not only has he lost everything, he's left with this woman that's going, Job, curse God and die. So to make matters worse, right? And I mean, even his health gets taken. And then for the rest of this book, you have Job grappling with this in this silence, and three friends who are trying to convince him that he deserves this in some way because of what he did, and Job absolutely maintaining that he has done nothing wrong and something else is going on. I honestly, again, whether Job was real or not, I don't think we can imagine what Job went through. Again, we've had our lumps. In this life, we've all taken our hits. But this is total devastation in a matter of days. And then on top of it, contracting some horrible disease. And again, in all of it, even God himself is silent. We see Job is hurt. He's confused. And literally and figuratively, I mean, he's sick over the whole thing. Look at, this is just Job 3, 25 and 26. It says, truly, the thing that I fear comes upon me, and what I dread befalls me. I am not at ease, nor am I quiet. I have no rest, but trouble comes. This is an individual who was tuned in with God. He was doing the right things. He was enjoying this wonderful relationship with God up to this point. And through no fault of his own, life again takes this terrible turn. He has no idea that it was Satan and God having this discussion. It just, everything went south and then radio silence. Can you really blame Job for this restlessness he's experiencing? Again, if you've followed Christ for any amount of time, I think we know this restlessness. Those times that, man, we don't feel God there. We just don't. And then, to make matters worse, sometimes when we're not feeling God, we're around others who seem to be enjoying an incredible sweet communion with the Father, right? Where, man, you're struggling, and then somebody comes and says, oh, listen to what God has to say, and look at how God is blessing me. And even though their intentions are good, and I think it's important that we share what God is doing with one another, because I think it bolsters all our faith, but when you're in that spot where you don't feel like God is speaking or you can't hear him, it doesn't always feel good. And we continue to ask God to intervene, and maybe it just hasn't happened. Or we have those questions and we just are begging God to give us some kind of clarity, some kind of direction, and they just don't come. And this is exactly where we see Job. Look at Job 23, 8 through 9, and we're going to work through the rest of this chapter. If I go forward, he is not there. Or backward, I cannot perceive him. On the left, he hides, and I cannot behold him. I turn to the right, but I cannot see him. In those two, you can just hear this guy's heart and the pain, right? I mean, he is actively pursuing God, right? He is looking in every direction that he can. He cannot perceive. It's like God is playing hide and seek with him. God is silent. He's trying. He wants clarity. He is desperate. But God just doesn't speak. He doesn't meet him in his pain. He doesn't meet him in his loss. And when we find ourselves in that same place, it's really easy to start having doubts, isn't it? Because, I mean, we get used to God either feeling, okay, Lord, am I heading in the right direction? We get used to those confirmations. We get used to that stuff. And then all of a sudden, we're on our own. And so we can second guess ourselves. We can second guess the situation. We wonder, are we actually the one that's doing something wrong? And we can go down that road and just continue to look, and again, we see Job's friends doing this, and Job's maintaining, look, I have done, and the Bible says he was blameless. We question, is God mad with us? I mean, you will drive yourself crazy on that one if you're looking at your circumstances thinking that God is thumping you just because of something you've done. Man, you'll do everything you can to try to get out from underneath that thumb, but if that's not it, then you're just wasting your time and energy. Then I think there's even to the point, I think I've gotten to the point a few times where I wondered if God even gave a rip. We're in this world. I'm in part of a broken world. I'm part of this broken humanity. I am hurting. I am just hurting. And God just doesn't say anything. And it's very easy to cry out and go, Lord, do you even care anymore? And Job's not perfect. He's blameless. He's righteous. But he's not perfect. So I'm sure in his humanity, at a certain point, sitting on the ash heap, scraping his sores with a potsherd, his mind had to go to these places wondering what it was going to take to get beyond this. What had he done? Was God mad? Did he care? And what we see him do in these circumstances, I think, are worthwhile because it gives us a clue what to do when God is silent. So Job 23:10-12 says this, "But he knows the way I take. When he has tested me, I shall come out like gold. My foot has held fast to his steps. I have kept his way and have not turned aside. I have not departed from the commands of his lips. I have treasured in my bosom the words of his mouth." So in all this hurt, in all this question, in God's silence, we see Job, just he's really responding in a fantastic way. And yes, this is old, ancient poetry, and so the verbiage is a little different. But when we really look at that, we can see what a great thing how Job is reacting to this. And I think it gives us steps that we can take from his example. Number one, but he knows the way that I take. So here's the thing. When God is silent, when we feel like he's not there, we need to remember and cling to the fact that God knows everything that is going on. Even when we feel like he's not paying attention, even when we feel like he doesn't care, even when we personally are questioning, we have to cling to the fact that God does know what's going on, and we need to trust him in that fact. And then I love that second thing that, right, and Job thinks, look, God's testing me in some way, but what does he say? I shall come out like gold. He's clinging to the fact that, okay, no matter what this situation is, and this is true, look, no matter what your circumstances are, whether you put yourself in there because of stupid decisions, whether life puts you there or whatever, the fact is that no matter what you're dealing with, no matter what situation you're in, God can use it to refine you and continue to perfect you and sanctify you and make you look more and more like Jesus Christ. I don't care what it is. Right? The Bible tells us that for those that love him, he can turn to good. And you can go to some situation, you go, you have no idea. I don't need to know what you're dealing with because my God says, look, he can do that. He can come out. Job is clinging to this fact. As bad as this is, if I cling to God and I trust him in this, he's going to refine me. And so that's what he says next, right? My foot has held fast to his steps. He knows that he needs to continue to do right. When God is silent in our lives, it does not give us license to do whatever we want and disobey God. Here's the thing. We're all going to be tempted. And for me, we know the sins that we're tempted with. We know we're ready for those. But so God has brought us to a place of silence, and he's asking us just to trust in that. And when he's silent so long, what are you tempted to do? You're tempted to try something. You're tempted to try to snatch control back and do something where God's just going, are you going to trust in me and wait until I move? And so we're tempted to do, and again, I'm in that personality too, right? I'm not a huge fan. I'd rather jump in and figure it out. That sitting and waiting doesn't want, but yet my foot is held fast, so Job understands that he is going to continue to do what he knows is right. He's going to continue to do the things that he believes that God is having him to do. And we see that in the next line. I have not departed from the commands of his lips. Regardless of what you're feeling, regardless of what you're not hearing, you need to continue to do right. I think our culture, and maybe even the planet, is putting way too much power in our feelings. I mean, you hear it all the time. I feel this, I feel that. And then we held up this power and we allow those feelings to push us into action. You want to look at our country. Here's the thing. Your feelings, you know all this, all right? If you can step back and you can look at your feelings, you know that on any given day, some one little thing can totally change your outlook for the best, for the better, or worse. You know, something happens. You're walking out the door. You're having a fantastic day, whatnot. Somebody cuts you off. You become late for work. You miss. And instantly, that little chain of events has taken a good day and just whoosh, turned it south. Our feelings. Here's the thing. Satan can't manipulate truth. Do you think Satan can manipulate our feelings? Oh, yes, he can. Satan knows you. No, he can't read your mind, but he's observed you your entire life. He knows your weaknesses. He knows your stresses. He knows how to make you anxious. He knows how to mess with you. And so here we have this idea again that, man, I'm not feeling it. I think sometimes God grows silent. I mean, even, should I get in trouble? All right. So when someone comes to me, and there are different churches that they go to and different stuff, and they just go, you know, when I go there, I go because I feel God in the worship. It's just, it's such a strong feeling. My radar goes up. Because I'm like, well, what happens if you roll in on a Sunday morning and you don't feel it? Does it mean it was a waste? Does it mean God wasn't there? Does it mean that God didn't have something to tell you? My radar, when we judge our worship experience, when we judge how close we feel to God and all that stuff just on our feelings, that is a slippery slope. Because again, this life is broken, it's messed up, and your feelings is going to be like this your entire life. And so when we judge our faith on that, we are in a world of hurt. So here he is. I have not departed from the commands of his love. Job is choosing to do and cling to the truth of God's faithfulness and goodness and control, regardless of how he feels. If nothing else you take this morning, that's one that you need to take and bring out into our culture. Truth doesn't change. Your feelings do. And then he says this last thing, which I think is interesting, because he says, I've treasured in my bosom the word of his mouth. The words of his mouth. God is being silent at this point. How can Job be talking about treasuring God's word, right? This is part of his rub. So what's he saying here? I believe that he is clinging to the words that God had spoken to him in the past. He is holding on to what he knows about God despite the silence, despite what he feels about it. He is clinging to that truth. When we find ourselves in the silence, what we need to do is go back and cling to what God has told us in the past, the promises of his word, the things that he has shown us, the faithfulness that he has shown us. We need to affirm that our hope that we have in God is what it really matters. And this is what we see Job do. Look at verse 13 and 14. But he stands alone, and who can dissuade him? What he desires that he does, for he will complete what he has appointed for me, and many such things are in his mind. I mean, he is trying to grapple with who God is in these couple of verses. I mean, he realizes this. He's saying, look, when God stands, nobody can change his mind. I mean, what he desires is going to happen. God is unchangeable. God, again, regardless of your feelings, that's not going to affect God and who he is and what he's going to do. And here's the other thing, I appreciate that, right? For he will complete what he has appointed. God's not done yet. Even though he might be silent for a little while, he's not giving up on you. He's not left you to your own devices. He will complete it, and your job is to trust the process. If God is silent, your prayer needs to be, look, Lord, show me what you want. You've allowed me to come to this place, so I'm going to trust that there's a reason behind it. I'm going to trust that you're at work in some way, shape, or form, because you are unchangeable, and I'm going to trust that you will complete in me what you have. And here's the thing. Job is just one example. Again, I believe there are plenty of places that we see in the scripture that talk about it, and I'm just going to show one. Here's Psalm 22, 1 and 2. My God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from helping me, from the words of my groaning? Oh my God, I cry by day, but you do not answer, and by night, but find no rest. This is King David, but it might as well be Job, right? I mean, it sounds like it's completely in the same vein. Yeah, the poetry is a little different. But David is just, and again, like I talked about, when we need to get real and raw with God, not to be afraid, what I love about the Bible is there's examples of that. And you want to talk about someone who had no fear of going in and sharing God his feelings? It's David. I mean, look at that. Why have you forsaken me? How crazy do you have to be to tell God that he has forsaken you in some way? You are, and then again, it's not like you're just not helping me. David's saying, you're far from help. You're not even in the neighborhood of even thinking about wanting to help me. My words, my groaning, I am hurting so bad. I am groaning. I am crying. I am desperate. But you don't even dare answer me. That is raw. That is real. And again, I think when we approach God in that way, I think God appreciates when we truly share with him the depths of our true heart, whether we're feeling good or not. God wants to true us. And then, like Job, we see how David deals with this. Verse 3 through 5. Yet you are holy, enthroned on the praises of Israel. In you our ancestors trusted. They trusted and you delivered them. To you they cried and were saved. In you they trusted and were not put to shame. Again, we see that same turning and looking and seeing what God does. But David does it a little differently, because when David cries out and it's not getting the answer he desired, he's reminding himself that God has worked in the past. That he is still God even when he is silent. And that, again, we see that word, they trusted, and you came through. They trusted, they were not put to shame. They cried out, but they trust, and they were saved. What we see in Job and David's lives is that even when they felt they couldn't feel God, and he was silent in them, even when they didn't fully understand what was going on, and they didn't need to, they were going to put their trust and continue to seek God, period. So when God is silent, we cannot allow our feelings to rule us. We need to do whatever we can to remind ourselves what God has spoken in the past and what God has done for us in the past, and trust that as he was trusted, we could trust him back then and he was faithful back then, that he is unchanging and he will continue to do so. And this is what we see Job doing as we wrap up chapter 23, 15 through 17. This is why I am terrified before him. When I think of all this, I fear him. God has made my heart faint. The Almighty has terrified me. Yet I am not silenced by the darkness, by the thick darkness that covers my face. God has a healthy fear of God. And this is not some fear that God's going to crush him and just is a vengeful God. This is God. Job is in awe of God, and that is good thing. We need that, because we need that perspective, right? So I have a choice every day. I can either be ruled by how I'm feeling about things in the world I live in, or I can have this perspective that points to me to Almighty God, who's in control of it all, that knows it all, that loves me as his own son, and that he's gonna, as long as I continue in my brokenness to follow him and obey him, that he's got this. It's a world of difference. Which path do we choose? And I love what he says. Look at this last declaration. Yet I am not silenced by the darkness. Here, this is a poetic way of saying that he is not going to stop trying to communicate with God just because he is silent. Friend, I don't know how dark it is for you right now, but what you need to do is to keep the faith. We worship a good, loving, trustful, faithful God. Are you waiting for God to answer your prayers? Are you having a hard time hearing God's voice? My friend, you're not alone. Actually, you're in pretty good company. Job and King David were where you were at. Be patient. Trust in the timing of our loving Heavenly Father. He has not left you. He is not ignoring you. He is not too busy for your concerns, you need to trust in the fact that he's doing something. Don't give your feelings too much power. Remember what he has said in the past. Remember what he has done for you in the past. Don't stop listening. Don't stop seeking him. He's got this.